I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian. Hey, listeners, this episode is part of our new playlist to help everybody get through these times we're living in. It's our Host Faves playlist.
Yep, these are just some of our personal favorites, ones that we had a particular affinity for. And because these are stressful and trying times, we tried to stick to the ones that weren't quite as dour.
So hopefully they'll give you a little lift. Stay safe. Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And Tracy, I have a question for you.
Sure.
When you were a kid, did you love the freebies that came in cereal?
Well, my mother had very strong opinions on which cereals were appropriate. So many of the cereals that were sold with toys in them were not also cereals we were allowed to eat.
Oh, that makes me so sad. So in case some of our listeners do not know, sometimes cereal, particularly cereal aimed at kids, will sometimes come with a toy or another novelty item in the box as part of like a marketing promotion to boost sales. And I lived for that stuff as a kid. And I might still live for that stuff as an adult. My husband and I collect a lot of crazy things and toys. And like, you put a Star Wars pen in a box and we'll be eating that cereal for however long it takes to get all the pens. But this is not a new concept. Particularly from about the middle of the 20th century onward, the cereal wars sort of really started to heat up and different promotions were tried to outdo one another. And at one point in the mid-20th century, one very famous company had a very wacky plan to actually dole out land deeds as part of a cereal promotion. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Sergeant Preston of the Yukon was a radio show from the 50s, and then it made this transition into television. It starred actor Dick Simmons as the sergeant, and the radio version had featured voice actor Paul Sutton. There was also a husky dog named Yukon King and a trusty horse named Rex, and the show's exploits were usually about exciting adventures, most commonly with the sergeant of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police taking his team of sled dogs through the Yukon in pursuit of some bad guys. This TV series ran on CBS TV from 1955 to 1958, and it was sponsored by Quaker Oats.
So the actual attribution of who had this idea for this extremely novel promotion is a little bit fuzzy because different versions of the story credit different people. In some versions, ad executive Bobby Smith came up with the idea. For example, his biography credits him. Sometimes it's said that it's actually Smith's son who gave him the idea. And in yet other tellings of the tale, it was a last-minute bolt of inspiration to ad man Bruce Baker, who was a partner at ad firm Wary, Baker & Tilden, which is where Bobby Smith worked. So they're all kind of linked together, but it's not, there's not entirely one version of the story that's consistently told. There's always a little bit of wiggle in them.
We do know that one of these Chicago ad men came up with the brainchild of offering land deeds in cereal boxes. The previous ad campaign, which stated that the grains had been fired from guns, was really no longer doing it for people. The idea of guns firing the cereal was no longer appealing.
Yeah, and that is actually, that ad campaign is kind of based in the chemistry of how the puffed wheat and puffed rice came to be made in their puffed form. But the other thing that Quaker was really having to deal with was that other cereal companies were cranking up their own ad campaigns, and they were adding sugar to the cereal, which is something that the Quaker company was not in favor of. And they had these bouncy, cartoony mascots to try to appeal to kids. So, for example, Tony the Tiger, which lives on today and we all recognize, had debuted in the early 1950s, and Kellogg's Frosted Flakes had become increasingly popular with kid consumers.
That part's really funny to me because if you've heard our episode about John Harvey Kellogg, you know he was also not in favor of the sugar in the cereals.
Yeah, he lost control of that one.
Yeah, they have this in common with my mom. In a piece written for Canadian magazine in the 1970s by Jack McIver, Baker is the hero of this piece, racking his brain in a bathroom at 3 o'clock in the morning to try to come up with some way to salvage the Quaker account.
Yeah, I feel compelled to mention that I could not put my hands on an official full-text copy of this article. It's reprinted, sometimes in edited form, by multiple tourism groups in Canada, and I did find a citation for it, so we know it existed, but I never actually got the full-text document from the official magazine. So just know that going forward, I just wanted to acknowledge if you go looking at the show notes and you go, hey, I never found this real article. That's why.
Baker was interviewed for the piece, and he said that he had the idea for the giveaway while he was under pressure to come up with something that was cheap and moved cereal. Once he had the idea, he took the 5 a.m. train to Chicago, grabbed his art director, and whipped up a presentation, which he's said to have delivered to Quaker at 11 a.m. that same morning.
And the Quaker company had some trepidation about this whole wacky scheme. They envisioned the whole campaign becoming this nightmare of paperwork and expense as they tried to parcel out millions of tiny pieces of land, particularly to children, and sort of the legal issues surrounding all of that. They really were just very hard to sell on this idea.
It was pretty much the only idea on the table, though. So to complete with all the sugar and all the cartoon characters, Bruce Baker and one of Quaker's executives flew to Yukon to scout out the possibility of actually bringing this wild idea to reality.
Yeah, they were going to tie in that whole Canadian Mountie story into this idea of giving away land. And so once Baker and the Quaker executive landed in Canada, they met with a lawyer in Whitehorse, and things got a little bit smoothed over at this point because the Canadian lawyer, whose name was George Van Roggen, who incidentally went on to become a senator in Canada, he advised that it was not actually going to be necessary to register each individual square inch that they intended to give away in this promotion, that they could just sell it in one large parcel, and then they're just such tiny increments you didn't even have to bother with all of that.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben Roggan was delighted to be working on a novel project instead of just drawing up people's wills and whatnot. So he helped find a lot for the visiting Americans to look at and to consider purchasing. So the men headed to Dawson City, which was a gold rush town, and then they traveled by boat upriver to inspect property in Klondike.
And the plot of land that they specifically looked at was Lot 243, Group 2, and it was 19.11 acres. It featured 640 feet of riverfront on the west bank of the Yukon River, and it was 1,301 feet deep. And the Klondike Big Inch Land Company Incorporated was eventually established for the purposes of this promotion, and it is that company that paid a whopping $1,000 for this tract of land. So once the land had been acquired, deeds were printed, and each deed was on a 7 by 5 inch piece of paper, and that made it 35 times larger than the actual land pieces that they represented. And the wording on these deeds was really carefully written to be entirely legal. I believe Van Roggan did continue to help them with this since they were working on, you know, legal issues both in Canada and in the states where the promotion was going to happen. And this was the reason that they put so much effort into making sure every word on this piece of paper was accurate and legally sound was allegedly because the cereal industry at this point had become really rather cutthroat, and they were really concerned that a competing company was going to try to like just comb through all of this copy that was on the document to find any incongruity or any way to call foul on this Quaker Klondike project and consequently shut it down.
The deeds also made it clear that they did not come with mineral rights to the land. Nobody wanted anybody to be showing up looking to mine their one square inch of land for gold. The owners of these tiny parcels also had to allow for easement, which is accessed by other people who might need to find their one-inch plot. So basically, it made it so that the deed holder's property could be stepped on without legal recourse.
On January 27th of 1955, this promotion began, and they ran ads, of course, on the television show, but papers across the United States also ran ads touting that purchases of Quaker puffed wheat or Quaker puffed rice could lead to the ownership of actual Yukon land, and these tiny land grabbers could fill out a form and they could send it in with a box top, and in return, they would receive one of these deeds that had been so carefully compiled, issued by the Klondike Big Inch Land Company, and that entitled the holder to one square inch of Klondike land.
There was a whole lot of romance around the marketing of all of this. The promotion copy touted, "In the gold rush, men fought the wildest country on earth and the most savage of climates to get to the Klondike where your land is. During the winter, the only way to the gold fields was by mushing for week after week. The more fortunate were aided by dog teams pulling sleds. No one knows how many brave men died along the frozen Yukon River that runs past your land."
And there was also a map of the Yukon Territory in these ads, and it had this arrow that pointed to a spot in the words, "Deed makes you owner of land right here," which just delighted me and sent me into fits of laughter when I saw it. Also included was a brief description of how a lust for gold had driven men into this wilderness hoping to strike it rich. And there were heroic descriptions of the Mounties that patrolled this land and how they always get their man. So that also tied in with the television show.
Additional wording included talk of the harsh cold, the dangerous grizzly bears and wolves, and the moose and caribou that might traipse across your land. The phrase "your land" was consistently used in all the promotional materials, drawing kids into the sales push with this empowering language that sparked their young imaginations.
And it is no surprise that this campaign worked like gangbusters. Stores were actually having this problem where they would sell out of their puffed cereal stock each day, and kids were begging their parents to purchase multiple boxes so that they could grow their land holdings. And I can't help but think of like kids lying on their beds dreaming about the huge plots of territory they were slowly amassing through these minuscule little one-inch deeds.
In the first month of the campaign, Quaker received tens of thousands of box top requests. But then there was a snag. In February 1955, just weeks after the campaign had kicked off, the Ohio Securities Division, Quaker had a large operations center in Ohio, ruled that the company could not legally trade a box top for a deed to Yukon land without a state license to sell foreign territory.
And so at this point, the promotion was really in full swing, and it was already seeing incredible success. And so Quaker did not want to shut this down. So instead of halting the promotion and distribution so that they could wait for a license to come, the company kind of managed a little loophole. They opted instead to give away the deeds in the boxes. And because this eliminated the exchange of the box top, which could be perceived as a sales contract when it came along with the filled out coupon, this made it perfectly legal. It was a free giveaway. They weren't selling land. And it meant that this promotion could just keep right on going because it was so successful that they really did not want to stop the momentum.
All in all, Quaker, through the Klondike Big Inch Land Company, gave away 21 million deeds to Klondike property.
And while the enthusiasm for Quaker puffed cereals and their gateway to property ownership was still fresh in the minds of kids, there was actually a second tie-in promotion that came up because as they were running out of their land deeds, they wanted to kind of keep things going. So kids could then mail in 25 cents to the Klondike Big Inch Land Company, and they would receive what was called a small, quote, poke pouch of genuine Yukon dirt. And Van Roggen was also involved in this as well. He assisted in the acquisition of this dirt. He basically had like a business acquaintance kind of sift up smooth sand from the bottom of the Yukon River, and he made it clear like there couldn't be anything, no pebbles in it, no nothing dangerous. It really just had to be the cleanest possible sand. And then they had to have this soil and sand trucked to Alaska because they couldn't mail it from Canada without a lot of postal complications. So the postmark was actually from Alaska and not from Yukon territory, but no one seemed to mind. And in one interview, I noticed that Van Roggen said, like, I think a lot of Americans think Yukon is part of Alaska anyway. So nobody seemed to notice that the postmark wasn't from the area where they said that the dirt was coming from.
10 years after the promotion, on January 22, 1965, the Klondike Big Inch Land Company was dissolved. The Canadian government took possession of the land due to non-payment of $37.20 worth of back taxes.
Yeah, that figure shows up in a lot of various sources, although it never says whether it's Canadian or U.S. currency. Not that there's a huge issue at that point anyway. It's such a small amount. And the Klondike Big Inch Land Company had really just been maintained kind of to deal with these various queries that people would send periodically about their land. But it really, after just a few months of this big promotion, it had ended and they weren't continuing to give away deeds after that point, which is why there's that big gap between when they give away the dirt and then when the Klondike Company is dissolved.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
None of those individual one-inch plots were ever officially registered, so those cereal box deed holders were never really recognized as having property in the eyes of the Canadian government.
The land that was once owned by Quaker's Klondike Holding Company has since been used for the Dawson City Golf Course.
So what's interesting is that these Klondike deeds continue to sort of rear their heads. The land title office in Whitehorse, Yukon, continues to get a handful of inquiries each year from people who have held on to their deeds or they found them in, you know, a family box. And there was an article in the Montreal Gazette in 1986 that characterized these inquiries as pretty much being grouped into one of these four major types.
There are general inquiries wondering if the land has any value. Tax queries from people worried that they're not up to date on any taxes owned on their square inch land parcels. Lawyers who find deeds from the Klondike Big Inch Land Company in the papers of the deceased and are trying to settle estates. And hopeful types who are wanting to know if they can rent the land for income.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I wonder how this whole thing would play out if they attempted it today, where it's like, you have land, a one inch piece of land. No, you don't. Not really. I think it would maybe meet with some bigger resistance. But there have also been these various wacky efforts made around these teeny parcels. At one point, there were a couple of men who had a combined 4 square inches of land. And they attempted to declare it as free and independent land under the name the Republic of Xanadu, which did not really play out.
Another person sent Quaker string and toothpicks so they could build a fence around his property.
One man had three of these deeds, and so he had a three square inch land parcel, and it was really his intention that it should be donated and used as a national park.
According to Vern Thomas, a representative from Quaker's legal department in the early 1970s, one man collected deeds from all over, eventually amassing 10,880 of them, and this added up to about 75 square feet. He then tried to have the square inches consolidated so he could take possession of his tract of land, and he requested that his parcel be carved out near the water.
But these were all of these various requests of what to do were pretty much met with a form letter that said, hey, that was a promotion. You're really paying for the excitement. And in 1971, Thomas, who we mentioned just a moment ago, told a reporter, quote, the deeds are worthless. They have never been of any value except as a promotional gimmick by our merchandising people. They really made it very clear, PR going forward, that they were really selling the romance and the excitement of this concept, not the actual land.
While the official statements made by Quaker indicate that the deeds were never meant to have any intrinsic value and were really meant to just be a fun promotion, if you do still have an original certificate, it does have some value because nostalgia dealers and eBay purchasers will take them off your hands. In the last several years, the certificates have gone for anywhere from $10 to $40 on the secondary market.
And in the early 2000s, a man named David McDonald, who had collected several of the deeds on the mini plots as a child, and he held on to them into adulthood, and a lot of people did. There were people that really squirreled these away, you know, in their safe papers, thinking that they were going to pay off one day. But David McDonald set out to make a documentary about the Klondike land and the Quaker Company's ad campaign after he had inquired with the Canadian government about the whole thing and got the same form letter as everyone else.
When McDonald started researching his film, he discovered that many kids, just like him, had grown up hanging on to their deeds in the hopes that one day they could make some money off of them. And those adult kids, or sometimes their families, in the cases where the original deed holders have died, were told by Quaker that they had no actual Yukon property.
Yeah, I tried to hunt down a chance to see McDonald's film, which is called Serial Thriller, but I did not manage to get to see it, which is a big phooey on my part because it sounded so fun. I just love this idea that there was such an odd little giveaway, like here's some land for you, but not really. You'll often hear it or see it written up in the various articles that have come up through the years, because periodically they will sort of rise to the top. Someone will make an inquiry and get very irritated and say, I was promised land, but and they'll get the form letter. This is not really. I think Quaker wishes this had never happened. Like, it was very good for sales at the time, but it really has been kind of an ongoing pain in the tuchus for them.
Yeah,
they continue to get mail every year from people thinking that it's time to cash in on their land.
Yeah, it reminds me of, I think it was a soft drink promotion within the last decade or so in which people were going to send in bottle tops. And, you know, the more bottle tops, they could get bigger prizes. And as a joke in the ad, there was one that was a fighter jet or something, and that cost 14 million bottle tops or something. And people actually took it seriously and tried to get that many bottle tops to get their fighter jet.
Yeah, that's crazy. If it's the promotion I'm thinking of, I think they capped the number of bottle top, like you had to digitally enter it, and they capped the number you could enter each week so that you could really never get to the magical number to cash in. But yeah, it's one of those things. People love a free giveaway. I love freebies as much as anybody. I send away for all the crazy stuff because it cracks me up when it comes in the mail. But it's one of those things where most people kind of go into it knowing this isn't really worthwhile stuff. Like, it has no actual value. It's just fun.
Yeah, or like if you adopt a wild animal at a wild animal preserve, that doesn't belong to you.
You don't get to go pet that animal.
No, it will bite your face.
We don't want that. I'd laugh so hard with people thinking about their 1 inch of land and what they're going to do with it.
I actually kind of like the guy who tried to make the 75 feet of land be a real thing. Because you could build a tiny house on that. Be pretty happy out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. There was allegedly, I didn't research it deeply. I saw it in my research and didn't look terribly hard at it. There was allegedly a game show at one point that had people try to find the square inches, like a specific square inch of one of these deeds, like as like the challenge of the game show. Like, this wasn't the regular thing. It was a random challenge as part of their regular series of challenges. But they had laid out the parcel of land where basically they just did like a simple numbering scheme where they started at like the top left corner of the land if you were looking at it on a map and went, you know, one through however far it could go by inches, and then started a second row and just kind of went chronologically. So theoretically, people that went looking for their particular inch, because each inch was numbered on these certificates, could theoretically find it. But to the best of anyone's knowledge, no one ever actually did that. Like, no one ever pinpointed their one square inch of land. It makes me almost want to go looking for one of the certificates just for my own collection of weird things, because it's so funny. But you can see images of the certificates online, and we will link to some of those in the show notes. And also, one of the things I wanted to mention that will be in the show notes is the commercial for Quaker where they talk about the cereal being shot out of guns, because it's quite wacky cartoon featuring a cannon and some kind of revolutionary style costuming, and it's worth a look.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today for this classic. If you have heard any kind of email address or maybe a Facebook URL during the course of the episode, that might be obsolete. It might be doubly obsolete because we have changed our email address again. You can now reach us at historypodcast@iheartradio.com, and we're all over social media at Missed in History. And you can subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever else you listen to podcasts. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.